Chapter 55.
Feeding us left. 6.
The plan to win this game and get our about-to-starve asses out of here consisted of 6 equally important parts, and the success of each element depended upon the completion of the component before it, 1 part a day. Parts 1 and 2 were intrinsically tied, and if the next 2 days didn't go well, we were dead. Literally dead. We parked Nipper on the edge of the ruins of Charnel. We cleared out a large circle next to the still-functioning but knocked-over transport gazebo. Banksy positioned himself underground in case of an emergency. I started drawing the Andrus sigil on the ground in salt while Clara manned the mounted gun on top of the newly repaired chaser. We'd managed to get the tracked vehicle repaired at the Yelm garage several days earlier, just after Clara and I took out our first pavilion. We'd gone to the city to complete the Repair the Gazebo quest and earn some free experience. When we were there, I discovered they had a mechanics garage. I'd used the rusting hulk as cover during the earlier firefight, and it had taken several shots, bringing its durability down to a mere 5%. The cost to repair the armor and install my upgrades was ridiculous. Almost 2 million teeth. I really wanted to trade it in for a flying vehicle, but they only had one, and it was 15 million. A person couldn't even carry that much teeth on them at one time. You had to pay in installments. Plus, that thing was a death trap. The nerve agent proprietor told me if I really wanted quality flying machines, I had to make my way to the city of Little Cibola. I'd laughed bitterly at that. So instead, I had the garage fix the armor up all the way back to 100%. I even had the ability to choose a paint job. The default skins were all lame, but the system allowed me to hand-draw a design using a palette of spray cans. I didn't have too much free time, so I did a quick and dirty job. It was my take on one of Banksy's, the real Banksy's, first murals. The chaser's default was a rusty black. With a white can, I painted out a white dog with a bazooka on his shoulder. I painted one on each side. The system also allowed me to pick a name for the vehicle. I named it DCA Nipper. Nipper was the name of the dog portrayed in the original Francis Barad, His Master's Voice painting that Banksy Prime was parodying in his mural. DCA stood for the Duke and Clara Army. Clara had rolled her eyes at that, but then she had laughed. She'd been distant since her revelation about how I'd really gotten here. I wasn't exactly thrilled with her either, but I needed her to think I had forgiven her. We had to work together, and we couldn't with a wedge between us. The name was stupid, but its intended effect worked. Nipper now looked brand new and ready for war. I'd had all the busted guns removed and replaced with a single gun emplacement on the roof, all surrounded with concertina wire. The gun was a smaller version of the manned turrets that Charnel had once used to protect itself. This was basically the pulse version of a 50 cal. It didn't pack as much punch as the brass shooting option, but it also didn't require ammo. And then I added my favorite upgrade ever. With a press of a button, 3 separate fat chainsaw blades surrounded the equator of the bus and started hula-hooping around it. The first blade appeared about ankle level, controlled by a steam magic spell that grew straight out of the tracks. The second blade emerged just below the windows, and the third surrounded the circumference of the roof, just below the concertina wire. The blades screamed like a real trio of chainsaws when I turned it on. It was useless as an offensive weapon, and the chains traveled underneath the front plow, but any demon crawling about the exterior of Nipper would immediately regret it. When we traveled now, we did it in the chaser. I drove, and Clara manned the gun. Banksy followed underground, while Iffy bounced around on the inside. Winky blinked back and forth, and Dickinson flew high above, warning us about demon movements until he inevitably got eaten by something. Clara could move more quickly if she flew on her own, but we were all safer in the tank. Battered, half-assed dirt trails crisscrossed the map, and we stuck to them until we approached our target. The roaming demons usually left us alone unless they were in larger groups. A couple shots from the mounted pulse usually chased them off. I kept the shrill near the rift, and Clara also positioned the opera near the giant rent in the world. We retained Avanik and Moritasgus nearby in case we needed them. Guardians were worse experience hogs than Banksy, so we only used them in absolute emergencies. For now, as I prepared the Andrus sigil in salt, we kept both guardians in the middle of the forest. They couldn't get this close to the edge of Neo Austin, and even if they could, they'd be useless in the first two parts of the plan. For the binding sigil, I had two options. I could just draw a circle of salt and allow the spell to draw the sigil itself, or I could draw the circle and hand-draw the sigil myself using the salt. If successful, this second method offered much greater control over the summoned demon. But if I screwed up the symbol even a little bit, the results could be disastrous. I chose the second option. I took Count Franz out of my bag and placed him on the side while I worked. I'd been taking the caterpillar out more and more often, chatting with the little demon. Ever since we'd managed to crash Epsilon, the little guy was downright personable toward me. He stopped asking to be freed. That didn't mean I was going to let him go, and I would take his advice with a grain of salt, but I enjoyed his company. "Have you ever met this guy?" I asked as I drew. The symbol looked like a circuit board with a pair of facing fish hooks. I had the library version of the symbol floating in midair while I worked.
"Andrus? Yes, lad. He's very intense."
"Why does Stolas hate him so much?"
"The potion dealer. Stolas hired you to kill Andrus."
"That's right."
"The Stolas pretends to be all high and mighty. But he's a right proud little bitch, isn't he? There's only two of us who take on the Isle form, and when Stolas learned that Andrus could also appear as one of those big-eyed birds in this realm, he wouldn't shut up about it. He went on and on and on. Andrus is a shapeshifter, you see. He can take on any form he wants. But he keeps the Isle form just to make Stolas mad. If that whiny bastard hadn't made such a big deal about him..." "Wow, lad. Oh, I knew Stolas was mad, but hiring you to attack another demon. Oh, mate. Wait until Belleth hears about this. He's gonna pluck that little asshole until he's bald. Asmodeus too. It's a pointless quest, too. Killing him while he's on this side of the rift isn't going to do anyone any good anyway. He just comes right back."
I pulled out the black sprout Stolas had given me. "Do you know what this does?" "I'm supposed to stick this in his body." Franz's demeanor instantly changed. The worm pushed to the back of his lantern.
"It was a sweet suffering, Bale. Mate, be careful. Where did you get that? Did Stolas give that to you? And he wants you to stick it into Andrus?"
"Yeah. What does it do?" Franz looked like he wasn't going to answer.
"Well, I mean, that very much depends on your definition of it, doesn't it? And I, for one, I'm not here to be your dictionary. All right?"
"Look, Franz, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to obey me. You being bound and all?"
"Ah, lad, that's a black sprite. They're very rare. They grow at spots of treachery. The last ones I know of appeared on our side of the rift, where Epsilon and Paskunji killed Maida and the others. Bale had ordered them burned and destroyed. Even he fears them. You throw that into a body and it permanently binds them. Not like how you have me bound. I mean bound in place, tied down. The roots come out of it, go into the body. It puts them in a fugue state, one of constant pain. They look dead, but they ain't dead, mate. They can't go home, can't talk, can't move. They just start bleeding from their eyes. It's awful. Just awful. So if Stolas wants you to stick that into Andrus, then his hatred runs even deeper than I thought. By Bale's left tit, Stolas is fucked when they hear about this.
I looked up at Clara, who had been listening. She nodded. We all knew this already. We'd learned about the fabled flower from both Fiona and the Viceroy Guildmaster, whom I had discussed this with a few days before. But it was good to get confirmation. I finished drawing the sigil. Next went the circle around it. You'll be happy to know, my friend, I won't be using the Black Sprout today. That's not why we're summoning Andrus.
Wait, I thought you had a quest to... never mind. Just do me a favor and put me away so he doesn't see me in this thing. It's embarrassing.
We ready?
Yup.
Duke. Banksy, I'm going to evoke the demon now. If I say the word, come up and eat him. Hopefully we won't need to. Banksy.
You have this terrible habit of repeating the plan when I already know it.
I cast evocation. Almost all of my soul power leached out of me and seeped into the circle of salt, which pulsed blue. Smoke billowed from around the circle. The ground rumbled. I popped open one of the soul power vials on my belt. The small demon in the vial cried before falling over dead. The vial and demon poofed away. The potion filled my soul bar to about 90%. The smoke coalesced into a form. A slight man appeared, dressed in a fine cloak. He wore a thin, black sword around his belt. Unlike the great horned owl visage of his enemy Stolas, Andrus had the round head and heart-shaped countenance of a barn owl. It gave him almost Asian features. I examined his properties.
Marquis Andrus, rank 63 in the demonic hierarchy, a vassal and personal bodyguard of King Asmodeus, may be evoked to assassinate or kidnap entities. In addition, may cast Glamour on an entire encampment, causing it to attack another. Requires evocation level 3. Warning. Any attempt to use Andrus to kill another demon will result in him hunting you after the evocation has expired. Has two more forms. An owl-headed angel or a hell guardian. Note. Andrus also has the ability to temporarily take on any form he pleases. These illusions are not his true form, and if killed, he will revert to his base form.
His rank was much lower than I expected. But then I read the line about him being the personal bodyguard of one of the kings. That explained why Clara had been so easily defeated when she attacked his pavilion. It wasn't Andrus's pavilion. It was this King Asmodeus's headquarters.
How dare you summon me?
The demon's voice was louder and angrier than one would expect from such a small man.
Answer me! Answer me now!
He looked down, examining my salt work.
When I am free of this binding, I will return here, and I will force suffering upon you and your kin, unlike anything your feeble mind can comprehend.
Andrus, why don't you shut up for a second and hear what I have to say before you make me angry? His livid owl face turned incredulous.
Before I make you angry... Who do you think you're talking to, you son of a traitor? Coward!
I'm talking to Marquis Andrus, demon royalty. I have rightfully evoked you. I have made no errors in drawing your sigil, and you will do as I command. I have two tasks for you, and you will complete them. The feathers on the demon's head bristled.
You have the audacity to ask me for two boons. You have the right to ask for one. And after I complete this task you have forced upon me, I will return and devour the flesh off your bones, and I will shit your remains in hell.
You must be a real hoot at parties.
Andrus raged, smashing his fist against the invisible wall binding him. Only one of the tasks is my official request. It's a kidnapping. Don't worry, it's not one of your fellow demons. That seemed to calm him greatly. He leaned forward, suddenly interested.
Go on.
I quickly explained what we needed him to do. I made the plan as simple as possible.
Are you certain you don't want me to just kill this enemy of yours? It will be much easier.
No, we have a contract. You do the kidnapping exactly as we ask. You do not harm either myself or Clara or any of our familiars. And you're free of your binding.
Very well. And what is this second task you have unwisely requested of me?
I grinned. I pulled out the black sprout. Like Franz, the demon recoiled at the sight of the flower. He recovered quickly, but I could tell it unnerved him. You'll never guess how I came into possession of this thing. I took another step closer. I could tell he was fighting the urge to flinch. And when I do tell you, I'm guessing you'll want to do something about it.